In the commentary of Zen precept, it says, precept refers to restraint and extermination. Shakyamuni Buddha, who started sitting in Zazen under a Bodhi tree, ended in attainment of enlightenment and establishment of the precept. This is named restraint. It means to put on a brake, to a stop. In the realm of the truth that I and all beings on the great earth both simultaneously attain enlightenment together. That is why it is called Buddha's precept. Okay? Precept refers to restraint and extermination. Shakyamuni Buddha, who started sitting in Zazen under a Bodhi tree, ended in attainment of enlightenment and establishment of precept. This is named restraint. It means to put on a brake, to a stop, in the realm of the truth that I and all beings on the great earth both simultaneously attain enlightenment together. That is why it is called Buddha's precept. From this, a precept in Buddhism, must be understood carefully, because it has very profound meaning. So, the other day, maybe I mentioned the precept is Buddha nature. Generally speaking, precept is Buddha nature or Buddhahood. Or if you use plain word, precept is the truth or suchness or universe. And Jukai receiving precept. So receiving precept is receiving Buddhahood, receiving the truth, receiving, universe. You bow, you prostrate on the floor, the laser hands, that is receiving universe in your hand, without any discussion. Anyway, receive. This is touch your forehead to the floor and raise your hand. So receive the precept is receive the universe, the truth, or as it isness of existence, or Buddha nature. And the receive means to awaken, to awaken. So receive the precept is to awaken the universe, to awaken universe, to awaken the truth, to awaken, or to say the suchness as it isness of existence. So awaken, to awaken means, anyway, you have to receive something with your body and mind and digest. Okay. In other words, ingest precept and digest with your body and mind. This is called awaken. And then you understand human life. And if you understand human life, no, excuse me, if you understand your life, if you understand your life, you understand others' life, because you understand your life in the universal perspective. So your life is exactly others' life. So you can understand the others. And then, if you understand the human, it means to understand the world. So if you want to understand the world, you have to understand the human, okay? Individual beings. You have to understand through and through. Then, that is simultaneously connected directly to the world. So, that's why receiving, to receive, is to awaken, okay? And also, if you understand the human and his world, then you can really appreciate your existence and others' existence, the existence of the world, then you really want to express it, manifest it, or transmit it to somebody. That's why Bodhidharma says, to awaken is to transmit. Transmit. So precept, receiving a precept is not to just have, moral code. You have usually think. No, it's not. Okay. So, first of all, please remember this point. Precept in Buddhism is Buddha nature, okay? The truth or whole universe. To receive precept is to receive the universe. Okay. Then next, to receive means to awaken. To awaken means you have to ingest the precept and digest until it becomes energy for your life. That is to receive, to awaken. Okay. And then, next, you cannot keep it in your individual life. You want to manifest, you want to reveal it naturally. Then, this is called transmit. Teaching something to others. That's why Buddha attained enlightenment, Buddha awakened the truth under the Bodhi tree, sitting under the Bodhi tree, and for a certain period of days, he was concerned with, concerned about whether he should stay there and kept his own individual experience without teaching it to others. Or not. This is his questions. After he realized the truths of the world, then for a certain period of days, he stayed under the Bodhi tree for a while, and then he decided to go out to teach. For 40 years, 40 years, he, anyway, had taught teaching of the truth, teaching of the universe to everybody. Okay? So, not only the Buddha, everyone. If something touch your heart very deeply, you cannot keep it in your life alone. Sooner or later, it's come up. So you want to manifest it. You want to teach it. Not show off. You want to teach it. You want to guide. You want to help people. That is called transmit. That's why from age to age, you can transmit human culture. Okay? Do you understand? Otherwise, you cannot transmit human life, human culture, human history at all. So everyone has this heart, really want to. Everyone has this kind of heart to transmit, to teach, to help people. Okay? This is called Buddha nature. Okay? Buddha nature, universe. So remember this point. And then I would like to explain this commentary. it means a restraint in this commentary. It explains meaning of restraint. But here says precept prefers to restraint and extermination, it says. Extermination. Extermination in Japanese has two meanings, okay? One meaning is, what did you say? to abandon, to abandon, to throw away, or to cut off, okay? To cut off. The other meaning is to finish a work, etc., at the sitting or at the one moment, at a moment. Finish something at the sitting. Is that clear? Means if you want to finish a sitting, anyway, sitting at the moment, right now, you should finish it. But if your mind always moving this or that, or future or past, you cannot finish sitting perfectly. So to finish something at the sitting means to do something perfectly, thoroughly. Where? Right now. That is a great opportunity to do this. So that is extermination, we say. Okay? So extermination is not destroy something or to throw away something from here to somewhere. No, it's not. So, two meaning, okay? And then, I think after explaining the significance of restraint, then you will make meaning of extermination clearer, okay? So, I would like to explain. The commentary says, it means to put on a brake, to stop. In the realm of the truth that I and all beings on the great earth's boss simultaneously attain enlightenment together. This is why it is called Buddha's precept. I translate, it's very difficult to translate it from Japanese to English directly, but in Japanese, the commentary uses the simple term restraint. But the restraint is used as a verb, to restrain. But if I translate it to the exactly, literally to restrain, it doesn't make sense. For instance, let me translate literally, okay? It means to restrain. To restrain I and all beings on the great earth's boss simultaneously attain enlightenment together. Do you understand this one? Can't you? It means to restrain the teaching, the truth, that I and all beings on the great earth together attain enlightenment simultaneously. I don't understand it. Even the Japanese, it's pretty hard to understand it. So I translated in this way. It means to put on a brake. To put on a brake to stop. In the realm of the truth that I and all beings on the great earth, both simultaneously attain enlightenment together. Okay? So there are two important points. To put on a brake. To restrain means two points. Okay? One is to put on a brake. Then you can stop it. So, when you put on a brake, where do you stop? Where? When? Okay. Where can you stop? You can stop. Not in the realm of morality or ethics or physics or dualistic world. You can stop in the truth that I and all sentient beings simultaneously attain enlightenment together, even though you don't understand it. If you stop it, it stops. If you put the brake immediately, you can stop it beyond your senses. But your senses start to quickly work. Where? You know, is there a better place? This is a parking? Yes, this is a parking. This is the right parking for me or not? Okay. You imagine the world. Do you understand? Even though you put the brake and the stop, your car stops exactly, but your mind doesn't stop. So always looking around. So even though you seems to stop, but you don't stop, not exactly in the truth. I and all sentient beings simultaneously attain enlightenment means I and all sentient beings completely stop in peace, in harmony. Where? Right now. That's it. So, how do I do? Put on a brake. That's it. Put on a brake means practice. Practice means a positive way of life. You have to do something. Anyway, without doing anything, you cannot stop. So, stop to put on a brake and stop, not separate, not divide it into two. If you want to experience to stop with all sentient beings in peace and harmony, you have to put on a brake, okay? If you put on a brake, simultaneously it is. So called stop. But we don't believe it. If I say so, still your mind is moving. Yes, Karagi, I understand. I stop. I put on a brake. And then what does it mean? It is, I stop, I put on the brake. It is still moral sense. Dualistically, you practice, you put on the brake. And then, after put on the brake, and you can see the car stopping. But this is a dualistic. So, put on the brake simultaneously, that is a stop. So, no gap between. Well, for instance, there are two, this teaching is based on two teachings in Buddhism. One is teaching of interdependence, teaching of that all things without exception is dependent on a support or conditioned elements, okay? Many things. So, this is one teaching, okay? Dualistic world, human world, you never exist alone. No. You seems to be alone, but you never be alone. So you live with all sentient beings. Even though you believe I am alone, no. Because from where idea of aloneness comes, because it comes from, it emerges from, anyway, relation with others. That's why you say, I'm alone. Aloneness, idea of aloneness, bring on idea of others' existence. Okay, that's why I say, I'm alone. So, that means the beyond your understanding, anywhere your existence is connected with something else. Not only human beings, all sentient beings connected. So that is called interdependent coordination, or according to Buddhist psychology, we say eta kisho means all are dependent on a support or conditioned element. Okay? This is the reality how dualistic world is structured. Dualistic world is structured and is going. This is a reality. If you misunderstand this reality, you create imaginary world, so-called deluded. If you understand this reality, you can touch the truth. Okay? So that interdependent coordination is very subtle point from which you can create a delusion, or you can create touches of the heart. You can touch the heart. So that is a kind of a pivot of nothingness. That pivot is complete nothingness because constantly moving, okay, connected. That is a pivot of nothingness, we say, okay. Now, if you understand that one correctly, you can touch the heart of the universe and the existence, but if you misunderstand it, you create imaginary world, so-called deluded world. So, the second teaching is the teaching of emptiness and self-substance. Self-substance, making up the substratum of substratum of individual being. So emptiness in self-substance. Okay. These two teachings are the Buddhist precept, okay? Buddhist precept to put on a brake, to stop, is backed by these two teachings. So let me say about this. Number one, the teaching based on interdependent origination. Simply speaking, it means freedom lies in limitation, liberation lies in delusions. Buddha is present in samsara. So I think Saddhama Pundalika says the place where Buddha should be is Nanyan Buddhaya in Japanese Jambudi Buddha. I forgot Sanskrit. Anyway, that is the southern part of the universe. That is a place where human beings exist, alright? So, Lotus Sutra, it says the place for the Buddha is that human world. So called samsara, we say. Samsara. Samsara means repetition of life and death. Going constantly. So, freedom lies in the limitation, or the liberation lies in delusion, Buddha lies in samsara because nothing exists at all. So if you say liberation, I want to have a liberation, or I want to be free from something, object or subject, you never see liberation or freedom within the freedom. But people believe unconsciously freedom is only in the realm of freedom. No, it's wrong. It's completely misunderstood. So freedom must be found in the samsara. Limitation. Because everything is dependent on a support or conditioned element. That means what? Already dualistic world. Dualistic world means already you exist, anything, not only human being, anything exists depending on something else, support. So when you think liberation comes into existence when you accept limitation of the world, then limitation comes into existence. So without the limitation, you cannot think anything at all. So-called liberation. So, it is because of a self nature of delusion in delusion. Okay, self nature, because of a self nature of delusion in delusion. In other words, it means that when a delusion is thoroughly squeezed dry, delusion disappears and liberation emerges from. Just like if you squeeze orange, if you can squeeze juice from orange, okay? So if you grasp, if you squeeze delusions in your hand, in your body and mind, dry thoroughly, okay? It emerges, the liberation emerges from. Because it has no sense of self-substance. No sense of self-substance means always moving, okay? Basis of nature, basis of your existence is constantly moving and connected with each other very quickly at the super speed. So, that is the first, according to the first teaching, I think if you squeeze something through and through, it turns into the something else. You lose its own self nature. You don't know what it is. If you squeeze something good or bad, anyway, through and through, if you squeeze your life thoroughly, you don't know who you are. Whatever it is. For instance, if you look at your face in the mirror, and then you say how beautiful your face is, how misery of your nose is, because cricket, you know. But whatever you say, you should squeeze your nose, cricket nose, thoroughly, and then your squeak, cricket nose becomes beautiful nose. Because you love it. Because no choice to escape. So completely you really love it. And then if you love it, you start to love your cricket nose becomes delusion. So always, if you grasp this one through and through, something else come up. And then you grasp that one, and then it's disappear, and something else come up. So very naturally, nothing to grasp. And you don't know what it is. Why you suffer from? Why you repeat life like this? We don't know. Because everything has no sense of self-substance. So, next, second teaching that is called emptiness in self-substance. So from this point, practically speaking, how can we reveal the freedom from dualistic sense? Okay? Dualistic sense means you live already in a dualistic world because I mentioned already, nothing exists alone. So, if you think liberation should be found in the limitation of the world, so how can we be free from that dualistic world? In order to get the liberation, how can you be free from not only limitation of the world, but idea of liberation? How can we do this? This is just a practice, very pure practice. So I say to squeeze dry thoroughly means practice. Anyway, important point is how can you? Important point is contents of your behavior, how much, how seriously you put on a brake. Okay? Brake doesn't exist alone without you. You doesn't exist alone without brake. So brake and you. How can you live to the full with a brake, so-called precept? Okay, precept, lots of precept there. That is a brake, material world, teaching anyway. Okay? But that teaching doesn't exist alone. It exists with you. So, in other words, how can you use that precept or material world by you? So, what is the content? What is the content of your behavior in relation with precept, break? And then between the break and you, you can see the space, bigger space. Okay? Between the you and the break, you can see the space and time, and also you can create mood, wonderful mood through the space, not through the break or I. For instance, if I sit here and Tai Keshman sit over there, what do you mean? What do you mean I sit here and Tai Keshman sit over there? Okay. Should I attach to Tai Keshman? Yes or no? I can attach to the Tai Keshman because if I want to know real relationship, I should accept this space in between Thai and I. What do you mean this space? Space, anyway, enables me to realize how I can have a close, warm, and compassionate relationship between Thai and I. This is a relation. Without space, I cannot have any relation with a Thai. Because Thai is always impermanent. Now he's sitting over there. Maybe next moment he lives. Because probably he might get used, he might get tired of listening to the Buddha's teaching, so or pain from the legs and boredom. So we don't know. But if I have a warm, compassionate relation between the Thai and the I through this space, even though Thai lives, still I can see this warm relationship. Okay? And then, simultaneously, I can create the whole mood in imparting to every inch of this room. Okay? For instance, you come here, sit in zazen in this room. But this room itself is not different from other rooms of other buildings. So this is nothing but a building. But this is different from, you can feel the difference from others' room. If you visit others' house, you can feel different. The moment when you come here, something. So what do you mean? Who created this mood, whole mood? I use a mood, but it's not imaginary word. It's something. Okay? Because your existence is always penetrating to the space, every inch of the space and time. When you come here, sit in zazen, immediately you are connected with many things, visibly and invisibly. And then you can have a relationship between you and zazen and space and kesu and many things. And you create whole mood, totally wonderful mood, imparting to every inch of this room. Live here, somebody comes, after that, feels wonderful, peaceful. Okay? Is that clear? That is most important. That's why relationship is very important for us. You know? So how can we be free from dualistic world? Okay, based on emptiness in the self substance. At that time, that means to squeeze the Blake. And you, okay? They squeeze a break thoroughly. Okay? It means wholeheartedness. Wholeheartedness, we say sometimes wholeheartedness or one-pointedness. Sometimes in Sanskrit, the manisikara means taking to heart. Take the break to heart means thoroughly, deeply, anyway, take the break to heart. At that time, you and the break become one. According to the Buddhist technical term, we say samadhi, or one-pointedness, or wholeheartedness. Through the wholeheartedness or one-pointedness, then you can squeeze something thoroughly dry. Then you can get something else. When? How? Right now. Okay. Time is right now. How? Using your body and mind. According to the suggestion of ancestors, gurus. Then if you do it, that is called stop. You can stop it. So, put on a break, in a common sense, it is a moral sense. Morality, moral world, ethical world, put on a break. Okay? According to the traffic code, you have to put on a brake anyway. Okay? But a put on a brake is not the moral code or traffic code. Because by putting on a brake, you can stop where? Not in the realm of moral code or not traffic code. You have to stop. You have to stop in the realm of the truth. All sentient beings simultaneously attain enlightenment means you stop, and simultaneously all sentient beings must be stopped. Okay? Must stop means you and all sentient beings are exactly peaceful. That is called stop. But a mind is always moving. So in a sense, strictly speaking, you have to stop from moving your mind. But there is constantly minutely moving your mind. Okay? So if you come to the ultimate, terminal station of the moving your mind, terminal station of the mind moving minutely, at that time, what you have to do is very simple practice. Just put on a break, that's it. Because it's minute moving. You never know how much. You never know how can you stop moving. No. What you can do is just stop. Beyond intellectual, emotional discussion of how we should stop. When you come to terminal station of the mind, minutely moving, it's very simple practice you can reach. That's all you can do. So precept is to put on a brake to stop. To stop means you have to put on a brake. Why we have to put on a brake? It is not a usual moral practice because you have to stop. You have to stop in the realm of the truth, so-called total, perfect peace and harmony. Stop your mind moving anyway. That is when you do it. Very naturally, when you stop it, very naturally, there is actual practice there. That is called not kill. Okay? Etc. Various precepts there. So not to take life is put on a break anyway. So you have to practice this one. But how? Simply, you just obey. You just follow, not to take life. Oh, but when you look at your life, how much you can obey this precept? Well, many, lots of times you break this precept, killing the insects and killing the many things, unconsciously or consciously sometimes. So, but anyway, there is no room for us to discuss, we can obey you, we can follow this precept or not. Anyway, from moment to moment, we have to, anyway, just put on a brake. Means just accept and practice it. And then, this is exactly a way to enable you to stop in a peaceful, harmonious world. That's why in the ordination we said, who obey this precept? For what should we obey? Obey this precept. Who, for whom do myriad flowers bloom in spring? For whom? If you see flowers, you are really impressed by the beautiful flower in the spring. It comes from where? It comes from spring, it is already discussion. It comes from ground, it's already discussion. It is blooming for somebody else. It is discussions already. So finally, what you have to think is, for whom this beautiful flower blooms in the spring? We don't know. For whom you have to obey this precept? We don't know. But it is reality and it is a very clear fact that flower is bloom. Flower is blooming from moment to moment beyond, before your intellectual sense poke into it. It's already there. That is simple practice, just bloom. So all we have to do is just obey and just follow that precepts with as best as we can. So that's why in the ordination we say finally Buddha mentions and therefore who obey this precept, for whom we should precept. For whom do we obey this precept? Who gives this benefit? What is the benefit of precept? Who gives this benefit to whom? Okay? Lots of questions coming up. But all questions, anyway, must be squeezed thoroughly. Where? In the moment, in your hand, so-called moment, right now, right here, then all things disappear, and then digested. Then you can create wonderful mood, so-called spring, extending into every beings, rocks and trees, everybody's. Everybody feel wonderful anyway. This is our meaning of precept in Buddhism. Okay, so I think even though you don't understand now, please keep it in your heart and contemplate and meaning of precept in your everyday life. Beyond whether you will be able to obey or not. Anyway, we have to think, we have to maintain, we have to be mindful of this precept. And then, gradually, you become wonderful. Sometimes, immediately. But, no guarantee. You can just do it. Okay. Guarantee is something coming from insurance company. It's not yours. My insurance, life insurance company is not mine. It's Zen Center. It's for somebody else. So my life has a guarantee anyway. Yes, what is the guarantee? I don't know. I cannot get it. Because I have to die. Do you understand? If you want to guarantee, you have to die anyway. And then, it really works. It really works. That is really real meaning of life insurance. So that's why I say always, you can be reborn in the paradise. Surely, surely, I give you promise, I make a promise, but no guarantee. Means you have to do it. Okay? Not my word, your life. Okay? Not my life, your life. You have to do it. Okay? But anyway, we have to help each other. That's why we practice like this. You have a question?
At Tokyo Jiva, Summer, Narasaki Roshi had a Ryakuprasad ceremony, full moon ceremony, taking the precepts, which maybe they do every month or every 2 weeks in Japan.
Twice a month.
Mm-hmm. Could you say a little bit about that and say if we'll ever do that here?
Yeah, I am thinking of practicing that one in Hokkyoji someday.